There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hameed, my co-host. This is podcast number 646, January 5th, 2014. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Hello and welcome to the first podcast of the 2014 season. Happy New Year to everybody and hope all is well.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Michael Schumacher still in critical but stable condition. Double point system looks to be here to stay and heavy pressure at Mercedes to win the championship in 2014. And of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hameed. And on the top of the news, of course, it's the terrible, tragic skiing accident of Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, you know, this is very, very sad, unfortunate, and what a sad way to end 2013. What has happened here is very sad and tragic, like I said, and one can only hope and wish that he will win this battle also. I am really hoping he can do what his ex-teammate, do you remember Carl Wendlinger when he had his accident in Monte Carlo?
Yeah.
In 1994.
Brutal.
Yeah, and also Roberto Guerrero, he had a very bad accident, and both were able to make healthy comeback after serious brain injuries, and both even came back into motor racing. As far as Michael Schumacher is concerned, you know, I'm sure this is the thought of everybody. We would all want to see him come back and at least live an active, healthy life.
Absolutely.
If not racing or riding motorbikes. The initial reports were that he hurt himself in a skiing accident at the Mirabel ski resort. Initially, I thought it was just like, you know, normal guy fell and stuff like that.
That's what I assumed as well.
Yeah, and as soon as news came that he has been airlifted to another hospital in Grenoble, I believe it is, it was obvious that this is a serious medical situation, and now he is in an induced coma after two surgeries. To see him in a hospital in a coma on his 45th birthday, this was really a heartbreaker. Very, very sad. Nobody wants to see something like this to happen to anyone, especially not to superstars of the sport you follow and love. And, you know, for us on the West Coast, to see Michael Schumacher do what he does best at 5 in the morning, and I have a lot of memories of, you know, especially that qualifying run at Spa on his debut, and then to see him fight for his life, this is beyond your worst nightmare. I mean, you know, Graham Hill perished in a plane crash, quick. Carlos Pache and, you know, Fangio died of old age and stuff like that. But this is something I could have never imagined happening to him. The pain and ache I feel as a racing fan is in the same zone as Imola 1994. I just hope Schumacher has better luck than the man he was following on that Sunday. And obviously, you know, a lot of speculation is being thrown around, and we're not going to get into that. His family has also requested privacy, which is very understandable. You know, just yesterday I saw on the web separate pictures of, you know, his wife, father, and even Ralph Schumacher coming to the in the parking lot of the hospital. And I'll tell you, just the look on their faces tells the story.
God, it's got to be unbelievably tragic.
Oh, yeah, and his son was with him, actually following him, and just very, very bad. Doctor, you know, this doctor, Professor Uwe Kehler, the highly respected head of neurosurgery at Hamburg Hospital, he said that Schumacher could remain in coma for weeks or even months, which is very, very disheartening. He was quoted as saying that generally it takes 2 or 3 weeks until a patient with such a severe trauma can be woken up. Unfortunately, he said, it is also possible that the person does not wake up properly, and you and I were discussing about that, after effects of surviving such a brutal accident. So that's very, very sad, and we just hope and pray that, you know, he comes through.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't even want to contemplate the worst part of it. You know, I'm going to hang in there and hope that he's going to come back 100%. He's got the best care in the world.
Yeah, and they said that his physical condition, you know, the guy was... I remember when he was retired, there was a picture of him standing next to some NASCAR racer, and it was just amazing, you know, how fit this guy looked, even after 2 years of retirement. And he's always taken good care of himself. And, you know, it's good to see there has been a lot of worldwide support for him, moral support for him from around the world. Here are some of the comments from different types of people, you know, from different arenas. Former President Bill Clinton tweeted his support, saying on Twitter, "Thinking today of Michael Schumacher and grateful for all he's done with Clinton Foundation and for others. My prayers are with him and his family." David Coulthard, you know, who had numerous battles with him, wrote in his Telegraph column, this is very poignant, "The awful thing is that so often it takes something like this before we say what we truly feel about someone."
He's right.
How very true. Martin Brundle, teammate to Schumacher at Benetton, on Twitter, "Come on, Michael, give us one of those race stints at pure qualifying pace to win through like you used to. You can do it." And that's pretty much what everybody wants at this time, I would say.
Yeah. No, I think he's going to pull through.
Yeah, I certainly
hope
so.
He's a pretty tough guy. He's got great medical care. I think he's going to come through. We just have to have some patience and let the medical system work on him.
And
we'll see what happens.
And he's in an area hospital, a medical, because, you know, because of the skiing situation there, they treat
they
a lot of
people. They deal with these kinds of accidents often, especially in the winter.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, he will pull through, like you say. Unfortunately, there was more sad news as to what 2013 was coming to an end. Andy Granatelli, one of the great characters of American racing scene, passed away on December 29th in Santa Barbara at the age of 90. And I met him many, many years ago at Long Beach, and I'm a big fan of Andy Granatelli and the STP pajama suits they
had. Great heritage, Colin Chapman, I mean, all the big shots.
Yeah, tremendous history there. Andy was born in Chicago, but grew up in Chicago. In 1961, he was made president of Chemical Compounds, a company which had less than, I think they had like 7 or 8 employees at that time, and only one product. So what he did, he changed the name of the company to its only product, STP, which stood for Scientifically Tested Petroleum, and rest is history. I'll tell you something. In 1970-71, I went to, where did we go? We went to a vacation with my brother in the town called Abbottabad, which is famous for 2 helicopters coming and taking care of OBL about 2 years ago. Anyway, and my aunt, she was working and living there. She took us to Peshawar, which is the town much in the news these days next to the Afghan border. And, man, every rickshaw, every taxi had a STP sticker.
Really?
Yeah, that was the second most popular sticker in the country, in that part of the country in those days. And you know what the most popular sticker was? Put a tiger in your tank.
Rawr.
Yeah, exactly. So that was interesting. So anyway, he changed the name to ST Company to STP and became very famous in racing. Andy was the team owner when Mario Andretti won the Indy 500 in 1969. The kiss from Andy on Mario's cheek in the victory lane is one of the most famous racing photos. And according to Mario, "I can still smell the garlic." I'm sure you've seen that picture.
Yes, of course.
Very, very interesting picture. Andy's autobiography, "They Call Me Mr. 500," is an interesting story. He once said of himself, "I was born supercharged." And this was one of the first, when I first came to the U.S., I went to a bookstore looking for racing books. And this was one of the first, two books I bought was this one and the A.J. Foyt autobiography. Both fantastic reading. I would highly recommend. So our condolences to the Granatelli family and friends. And you know, his son Vince also ran an IndyCar team for many years and with decent results. Anything else, sir?
Well, that was the end of 2013. Not the greatest.
A lot of tragedies.
Yes,
you know,
terrible ending to 2013, but what can we say? Everything will be better. We've got a new year. Did you have a happy new year, Nasser?
Yes, I did. I had some family in town. We went out of state and this and that. Did some traveling, SoCal. And it was very, very nice. I enjoy traveling, driving around, listening to music in the car. It's one of my big passions.
That's good. No, that's fun.
A lot of places, interesting places to see in America. And I really love the Southwest United States. So I really enjoy. I cannot wait to go and visit places like Taos, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I was very, very happy that I went to Tejas, the Austin. I didn't get to see much of the city, but I was very impressed.
Very good. I just stayed home on New Year's Eve and then woke up early on the New Year's Day. And me and my wife took the 67 Porsche and we did the anti-football run out of Sausalito that was started by Martin Swig and is continued now with David Swig and his brother Howard. Great turnout of fantastic cars.
No, it's a great event. I was there last year, and I saw your charming face there.
It was a great event. Pre-war Alfa Romeos, post-war Alfa Romeos, lots of classics, including great Ferraris. Fantastic event. Enjoyed it. Had lunch at Poggio's in downtown Sausalito. Outstanding. And I recommend if anybody's in the neighborhood during New Year's, check it out.
Yeah, I was there last year. Good fun. Was Signor Gentile there again?
Correct.
Oh, that's good.
So everybody was happy. There you have it. Not much racing news, I have to admit.
One, but we're coming soon.
Coming soon. We've got some Rolex activity.
Yes, in Monte Carlo. Actually, today, before I came to the Palatial Studios, I got the news that Robert Kubica has won the opening round of the European Rally Championship.
Correct, the ERC.
Yeah, the Jänner Rally in Austria. Yep. So congratulations to him.
Well, he's becoming more and more dominant. Obviously, I think he, who can talk about severe injuries, close to death, has really done a fantastic job and overcoming some of his problems with his hands and his wrists. He could become a multiple champion like in World Rally Championships.
Like a Polish Sebastian Loeb?
Exactly.
Wow, that would be something. Well, Monte Carlo Rally runs. You know, Monte Carlo Rally and East African Safari Rally are the reasons for my interest in motorsports.
Now, where is the Monte Carlo Rally starting?
It's starting in different places. Normally starts in a few places. I don't know if they've changed and doing...
Correct.
I mean, it ends in Monte Carlo, as
right.
We all know.
Ends in Monte Carlo, but usually it starts in another country somewhere.
A couple of places.
Wales or something like that.
So it's running from January 16th to 18th, Saint Sebastian Loeb for the first time in over a decade. And Robert Kubica, we just mentioned about him, will be driving for the Blue Oval. And Hyundai is back in WRC. More manufacturer support is always good for all series. Sebastian Ogier and V-Dub are the team to watch. They've been very strong. Then Daytona, another event.
Caution!
No, man, this is...
I know, but we're still in America, so I get to say caution.
Okay, that's fine. This is Daytona 24-hour. I went to this race last year. What a fantastic track. I mean, you land at the Daytona Airport, and before you get to the parking lot, you can hear the cars. The track is right next door. Unbelievable. Very, very nice facility and very nice people. Fantastic weather. And I would highly, highly recommend to do this track or race or at least visit the facility. You will not be. And, you know, Christopher Diardi and his papa were also there, and we had some good time at the Cracker Barrel last year. So this race is taking place this month. The great divide in American sports car racing is now over. The departure of American Le Mans Series and Grand Am will see the arrival of United Sports Car Championship on January 25. Christian Fittipaldi set the pace on the opening day of testing, while Alexander Rossi will drive the Delta Wing car, which is interesting.
It's interesting, but it's not an attractive vehicle, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's something for the future. They should have a Delta Wing electric racing series.
Well, I don't know about that, but surprising. I'm not surprised it's allowed to compete in this race. It was allowed to compete in Le Mans.
Yeah. Kazuki Nakajima took care of it.
Exactly. Apparently there was a blind spot, and everybody complained that the Delta Wing was painted black, so nobody could see it.
Yeah, great.
There's always some good excuses in motorsports.
Yeah. You know, even the design of these new sports cars is becoming too much. You know, I want a race car to look like a race car,
I mean, NASCAR... You're expecting GT40s in Gulf colors.
Exactly. Jackie Ickx at the wheel.
I understand.
Yeah, but Jan Magnussen will also be driving in the Daytona, and his son Kevin, he's making bold statements that he can do a LCA.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Kevin Magnussen saying that, I can do what Lewis Hamilton did, no problemo, which means, let me see, well, Jenson Button's his teammate.
Yeah,
that's going to be very
I think the alarm bell will ring very quickly by lap three. Because, you know, people think Jenson Button is nothing, but, you know, hey, you cannot win a championship in a C-grade car, which he had for many, many decades. And, you know, when he had the Brawn, right, the guy who thought he could beat Michael Schumacher if only there was no politics at Ferrari.
Rubinho!
See, I mean, he, do you remember, I think it was the Spanish Grand Prix where Barrichello was leading in the Brawn, and then they made a tire change in... And he was like, and Jensen went on to win, and he was all pissed off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll tell you, Jensen earned his respect as far as I'm concerned when he won two races before LCH at McLaren. That was serious machismo.
But believe me.
English machismo.
Fernando. Remember Fernando and Lewis Hamilton, 2007, the excitement?
Are you bringing that up?
Shocking. It's forgotten somewhere back there, but... Fernando didn't expect, by any stretch of the imagination, excuse me, what Lewis Hamilton was about to do.
Nobody did.
Nobody did. And so Kevin Magnussen could surprise if he's that talented. But have we seen that kind of talent when he was in Formula Renault 3.5?
Well, the kid is quick. There's no question about it. Okay, there is no question about it.
Well, you get when you get hired by McLaren... You're going to have some talent.
Yeah, okay.
There's no doubt.
Okay, but to answer your question, this is how I look at it. This is, you know, you have a Chinese abacus. I just have homie two blocks, you know. I add 2 + 2. Okay? If you are serious Formula One material, to me a Formula One material is where the guy is getting offers from Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull before he even gets to GP2. You know what I'm saying? So, let's take a look here on that thing. He was in British Formula 3, okay? Felipe Nasr won the championship. Kevin Magnussen had a very strong second half and won 7 races, which was the same number of wins Felipe Nasr had. Then he went to World Series by Renault, okay? He was completely blown away. He was racing against very good competition, Samber, Jules Bianchi, Alexander Rossi, but who blew him away and everybody? Robin Freins. Okay, mm-hmm. So it took him his second year to win that series, and then he had very good competition from a rookie by the name of Stoffel Vandoorne from Belgium, who's also in the McLaren program, just like Kevin, McLaren driver development. So I think, you know, to me, Sergio Perez, who I never expected to do anything in Formula One based on previous results, and Pastor Maldonado winning Spanish Grand Prix over Nando, proves to me that if you are consistently competitive and somebody gives you an opportunity, unlike the opportunity Nelson Piquet Jr. was given, you can turn into a very good driver. And we see that with Romain Grosjean. I mean, we've been singing his song for many years, and he got, like, basically this is his third attempt to get going, and he's doing a very, I mean, his performance at Texas was very impressive.
I know, but this is my theory, Nasser. Kevin Magnussen is young, hungry. We've got a brand new car with a brand new motor with brand new rules. He's young, resilient, and much more malleable and adaptable. Jenson Button, we'll see. Australia, the first few laps will tell the difference. And the press conference afterwards, if Jenson Button mentions Hitco or Carbon Industries, we'll know what's going down.
Yeah, but Jensen, he's a pretty savvy. He's like kind of a Nando, you know.
He is quick.
Kind of like, I didn't say he's Nando. He's smart.
He's smart.
The guy is quick. He's smart. You know, like Martin Hines once said.
Was Jenson Button wooed by Ferrari?
I don't think so. Yeah. But, you know, look what they've done now. Okay. So, no. Like Martin Hines once said, you have to learn how to win and how to lose. Jenson Button, Nando, Kimi Raikkonen, these people do not make a lot of mistakes. They do not make mistakes that other top-line drivers do. LCH really comes to mind on that front. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I think Kevin will be quick. Will he beat Jenson Button in his first year, the first half, I would be very surprised. I mean, I would be very, very surprised.
Yeah, and no, I will be too, yeah. But still, I mean, that's what we're hoping for. Yeah. We want excitement.
We want cage rattling, of course.
Absolutely.
And I mean, this is like Daniel Ricciardo or Ricciardo, whatever the name is. Of course, it'll be great if he can rattle Sebastian Vettel's cage. Will that happen? I will be surprised, but if it happens, great. You know, we're not going to feel bad if he starts beating Bastian. And it's like Daniel Kvyat. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I think your man Jean-Eric Vernier is going to eat him alive like an escargot, like a Russian escargot.
I agree. The biggest question is whether the McLaren will be quick to next year. That's the other problem. And the same goes with Red Bull. I remember when Alex Zanardi went to Williams, I was hoping that the kart world champion with the Barilla cap was going to succeed at Williams. But unfortunately, that year, that car was a dog.
Yeah.
Bad timing. And these things happen. So
sure.
It's once again, le package.
Yeah, you know, the team that should really, really benefit from this is Ferrari.
Because,
you know, yeah, because, you know, they're not supplying engine to six teams. Okay, so if they have the turbo engine dialed in properly, and also the chassis, and the package is good, then they have two.
Unbelievable drivers.
Incredible
I
racing.
I mean, you can't have better driver lineup than what Ferrari's done.
No, not
obviously,
at all.
The pressure, once again, is going to be on Montezemolo and Domenicali. With the package.
Yeah.
If they provide these two drivers a P5, you know, P6 car.
Then Nando will be on podium.
Yes, but exactly. But still, and Raikkonen will fall asleep.
Yeah, this is, I think if it's a P5 car, then they can forget. They may be writing another $25 million check to Raikkonen.
Exactly.
Before the season is over. So he will go with a bang, you know.
Yeah, and we may see Hülkenberg one day at Ferrari because of all this. So it's very interesting stuff. The other thing that's really bugging me is the double point system is still in play. They're now talking about bringing it to other Grand Prix.
I do not like this at all.
We need to start a petition.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe there's some bad escargot going around La Place de la Concorde in Paris where the FIA's office is, but this is ridiculous.
This is beyond ridiculous, you know. I mean, if they were to do, let's just say, final race, Monte Carlo and Spa, okay, I understand.
I would say, let's put it this way, double points at the classics, you know, Monza, Spa.
Yeah. But Monte Carlo, just, you know.
But Abu Dhabi, the last race, huh, what? What if there's a sandstorm?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just don't like this.
I don't either.
I don't like this.
It smells of phoniness.
You know, one time Formula One used to give fastest lap a point
correct.
Also,
one point,
right?
I believe.
They were doing that in GP2. And guess what started happening in GP2? Guys would come and make a pit stop with two laps to go. Fresh tires and bang out a quick lap. So they got 2 points, whatever they were giving. Then they changed that you have to be in the top six or top eight. I don't like gimmicks. You know, I want to race, you know, from point A to point B. Fastest man or woman or whatever wins the race. Simple
I think
as that.
If this continues, we will see reverse grid positions in Formula One, two races in Formula One. Where we're just grasping for excitement and entertainment and not racing.
Yeah, and well, actually, that's what Formula 2 used to be in the 60s and 70s. That may not be a bad idea if they're doing two 40-minute races on a weekend where the whole grid is reversed, you know, the first starts last. That's fine.
That's more exciting than double points.
Yeah, no, double point is nonsense. It's like going to a three-hour race. I mean, look at the Monte Carlo Grand Prix. I mean, they're better off doing race one, race two, 1 hour each. I mean, still nobody will be able to pass except for a few people. But I find it very interesting. You know, I was watching the 1985 Monte Carlo Grand Prix. The late Michele Alboreto, at that time, he was in a Ferrari. He passed Le Professeur twice. And somebody,
Le Professeur?
Yeah.
Alain Prost?
Alain Prost, yes. And I remember some guy in the rain in Tolman passed a lot of people also.
Really? Yeah.
Tolman? And my favorite was, I think the Brazilian driver was Enrique Bernoulli, and DC got stuck behind him for many laps, and he was chasing Michael Schumacher at that time. Michael Schumacher, I think, took like maybe a lap, no more than two laps to pass the same guy.
I love Jarno Trulli in Monaco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was exciting.
That was very exciting. Monday morning, Nando was very upset.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Even Pat Simmons says that.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. Okay, we've got the Dakar Rally.
Dakar Rally, yes, sir. Once called Paris to Dakar. You know, this rally, Paris to Dakar, was always called Paris to Dakar or Dakar
Rally. That's what
rally.
It was called. I mean, they even sold motorcycles, Paris to Dakar,
yeah,
issues, you know, and there was clothing.
Yeah, and at one time, it even ended in Sharm. I was very surprised to find out some years ago that there were events which started in Paris, but did not end in Dakar, but ended in Sharm el-Sheikh, which is a big resort in Egypt. And there was a time when it was not even starting in Paris. Well, but I'm glad they kept the name.
Yeah, they kept the name, but now where does it start?
Now it's in, this is what I'm coming up to now. The event now takes place across the pond in South America. The 2014 edition starts on January 5 in Rosario, Argentina, and will end in Chile in 2 weeks. This is the event where our hero from Orange County made the famous statement, "Mini is for girls." You remember?
One of my favorite drivers of all time.
Robbie Gordon.
Professional.
Yeah, tremendous racing talent, I have to say. So what else is going on?
No, that's about it. I'm looking forward to actually Daytona and the Caution. That's going to be a great race. Unfortunately, is Audi going to be there in their new diesel?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah. So, but we'll see. I'm glad this sports, what are they, United Sports Cars of America? Or
yeah, not the best name. They could have just bought the Can-Am name, you know.
They could have bet that, or USF1.
Or just kept the Grand-Am name, which was not a bad name.
Grand-Am was good. Excuse me. But, no, it should be a good series. I'm glad. I mean, I don't know why there's so much politics in some of these series, but it's all in the back door of NASCAR.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. I'm excited. I think the Dakar Rally is going to be good. I don't know about television coverage here.
I think it's on NBC.
NBC is dominating the whole sports world, including, of course, we're looking forward to, I mean, this is not motorsports, but we've got Putin, Sochi.
Yeah, yeah.
The Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Are you pumped up?
Oh, absolutely.
I love speed skating.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's always good to see
something
competition.
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sports
so
is
there,
good.
So there you have it, Ness.
Yes, sir. And you know, we were talking about Rosario in Argentina. When I was a little boy, I used to listen to this song from Jim Reeves. So please enjoy a little sampling of this music.
My heart is in Rosario, under the Argentine skies, there with a beautiful lady, with the dark and sparkling eyes. My heart is in Rosario, yo sentimente ay ay, there with a beautiful lady, that I love the day that I die.
Thank you, Nas, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Once again, our hearts, prayers, and condolences go out to the Granatelli family. And, of course, we wish Michael Schumacher all the best.
Absolutely.
I know he's going to pull through.
Absolutely, sir.
Yes. So there you have it. Thanks, Nas.
Thank you.
Happy New Year once again, and good night.
Bye-bye.